Thank you for coming here to hear my today's talk. So I'm, as Shalan have introduced, I'm from Würzburg and now we'll go to Penn State. And today my topic is about the Hopkins-Mihoy effect on the surface of weak topological insulator. So this work is collaborated with Xiaoliang Qi and Shu Chen Zhang. And here is the outline of my today's talk. So first I will give an introduction about what is a weak topological insulator. And then I will try to show you that in a concrete model that how the half the surface how the half surface half constant Mihoy effect can appear in the weak topological insulator and why we call it the half constant Mihoy effect. Then after that, I will discuss the general surface case and also interaction effect on the surface of the weak topological insulator. Finally, I will give a summary. So here we talk about the topological insulator. Usually in this, I think in this workshop, people usually refer to is a three-dimensional strong topological insulator. So we know that for strong topological insulator, there's a single black cone at the surface. Usually it's odd number of black cones, and for the most simple case, just like the bismuth ceruloid family of materials, there's single black cone in the surface. So this single black cone is very, very highly non-trivial because in the usually for any two-dimensional time loss invariant less model, you will always find an even number of black cones, just like graph B. So for the surface of strong topological insulator, it's just one-fourth of the graph B. And another natural thing of the three-dimensional topological insulator is that the spin and the momentum on the surface of the strong topological insulator, they are locking to each other. And if we look at the original paper by Liang Fu here, and we know that when for three-dimensional topological insulator, when you characterize it with V2 topological invariant, you will find that actually there are four topological invariants. One is this mu 0, mu 1, mu 2, mu 3. And the mu 0, this one is defines the index for the strong topological insulator. So basically you can look at the 8 time in the 3-dimensional brand zone, there are 8 timeless invariant point. Reverse invariant momenta, and if you look at this eight time reverse invariant momenta, and you can calculate this delta is just the product of the parity parity for each band for inversion symmetry system, and then you can know that this mu calculate this mu zero, and when this mu zero is equal to one, it's strong topological insulator, which means that there's odd number of black cones. You will, if you look at the surface brand new, you will find that odd number of black cones, and when mu zero equals zero, it's just a trivial insulator. So it's not a strong topological insulator. And besides this mu zero, and you will find there's still another three, mu one, mu two, mu three. And this three index is defined by this the pi plane actually. So basically, you look at now it formed a vector. So basically, when you can look at for example, you look at the kx equal to pi. Look at this kx equal to pi plane. And you can make the product of this four time invariant point on this plane, and you can obtain this mu one, and you calculate this mu one. And similarly, you can look at the ky equal to pi plane and kz equal to pi plane. And this four weak topological insulator indices, they can form a vector, and the fake meaning is quite simple, also given in this Liang Fu paper. So basically it's just a staggered constant insulator. So basically you can see that along this you can look at the surface along this this direction defined by this vector, and every plane you can understand it as a constant Mihoy insulator, two-dimensional constant Mihoy insulator, and it's staggered in the in this dv direction, so it forms this weak topological insulator. And actually the weak topological insulator did unlike the strong topological insulator, it when you look at the surface state, it depends on the direction of the surface. So this is quite different from strong topological insulator, because strong topological, no matter which surface you look at, they're always single always odd number that come there, but week, again, you will find that the number of the even number of the dark, there's even number of dark cone at the surface, but the number of the dark cone on the surface, it can be changed. For example, let's consider this simple. Let's suppose this weak index is equal to 100. If you look at the x, you look at this this xz plane. Sorry, it's 010. Sorry. And then what you will find is that there is two dark cones at the surface. But if you look at this plane, then what you will find is that there is no dark cone at the surface. Then the question is, will come out, so why the weak Tobolian insulator is interesting. What is interesting for the weak Tobolian insulator? So we know that for even number of dark cones, we can compare it to we can even for two-dimensional lattice model, we also have an example. For example, this is the graphene. So it seems at first sight the weak Tobolian insulator should be quite similar to graphene. So is weak Tobolian insulator boring? So a nice paper from first from the Inran and led them by Q and K, and they show that actually the weak Tobolian insulator is not so trivial, so boring. So if you look at the dislocation line in the weak Tobolian insulator, you will find that along this weak along this dislocation line there will be helical liquid, just as this helical liquid is protected by Tamiro symmetry, and it's just like what the people found in the megatheroid quantum well, the helical edge state in the megatheroid quantum well. So it seems not so trivial. And furthermore, recently there's a work by the Ringo and also from the Andy Stern group. They show that if you look at the disorder effect of the, at the surface of the weak Tobolian insulator, you will always find that there's anti-localization. This is quite the different, in a sharp difference, quite different from the graphene, because in graphene we know that when you have when you have the intervalley scattering, then the anti-localization will change to the localization. But here, people always found that this is anti-localization. So actually, if you look at the surface state of the weak Tobolian insulator, you will find it's in the first sight it's very very similar to graphene, because this weak Tobolian, the surface gap nature of the weak Tobolian insulator, it also depends on translation symmetry. This comes from this simple argument, because now we have two dark cones at the surface. So basically, when you break the translation symmetry, then it's possible to have scattering from between these two dark cones. The film surface, then it's natural that we think we can gap this both of them. So basically you break the translation symmetry, so natural way to you can fold this grand zoom, and then you can make these two dark cones at the same position, then you can introduce any scattering to scatter this two film surface, so gap this two film surface. To the outcome. And this scattering that's similar to the intervalley scattering in graphene. So then, a natural question is why, under disorder, these two systems, the graphene and the weak Tobolian insulator, they were found from the numerical, they were found that they are so different. So to answer this question, we may first go back to the strong Tobolian insulator. We can get some indication from the strong Tobolian insulator. So we know that the surface state of the strong Tobolian insulator, it relies on the protection of the Tamiro symmetry. So when you break the Tamiro symmetry, then this gap in nature of the strong Tobolian insulator will be broken, and it probably have a gap. For example, for strong Tobolian insulator, there's a gap is still a single dark cone. And when you introduce the magnetization into the strong Tobolian insulator, let's say introduce the magnetization, then it will open a gap. And although we know that when the Tamiro symmetry is broken in the strong Tobolian insulator, but the physical consequence is still non-trivial. You know that for single dark cone, there's so called half quantum hole. So basically, each surface will carry half quantized hole conductance. And this is known as the 2.1 deep pattern anomaly. And the similar thing has, so basically, if you look at the Landau level of this system, you will find there's a natural zero mode of the Landau level. And so basically, if you ferment energy between the zero Landau level and the one Landau level, you will see a Kettle mode. And this Kettle mode, you can understand it's carried by two surfaces. One surface contributes half of the conductance. So basically, in the experiment, what you see is similar to graphene. You will see no zero plateauing. There will be jump at the when the density across this zero density. And the similar thing you can see from the, you can also use this, not use the magnetization, such a surface half hole effect. You can look at the magnetization situation. So basically, you can, we know that when there is a magnetization domain wall or this for on the surface or strong topological insulator, at the domain wall, there will be Kettle mode appear. And this can also use to argue about why this each surface has a half quantum hole effect. So basically, we look at a thin film or a strong topological insulator, when the up surface has and the down surface has the same direction magnetization, you will find that there's a Kettle mode at the edge, and so the whole conduction is equal to E square or H. And if these two surface is has opposite magnetization, then V will be equal to zero. The whole conduction will equal to zero. Then we know that the up surface and down surface be equal to half of whole conduction. So this is half quantum hole effect on the strong topological insulator. And now what we learned from the strong topological insulator is that so we know that the gap in nature of the surface state of strong topological insulator is protected by time-reverse symmetry. And when we break the time-reverse symmetry, we have some non-trivial physical consequence is this half quantum hole effect surface on the surface. And similarly, we can ask the same question. So now we know that the gap in nature of the surface state of weak topological insulator is protected by translation symmetry. Then, so when this translation symmetry is broken, so what's the physical consequence? And in order to answer this question, we can look at a simple model for the weak topological insulator. Actually, it's a four-band model. It's similar to the effect model described by for the describing the bismuth ceride family material. And we can tune this parameter, this M0 and B parameter. And for the bismuth ceride, its strong topological insulator is in this parameter region. And now we look at another parameter region that this the system is in the weak topological insulator with only weak index, and there's no strong index. And this 0111 phase. And if we look at phase now, we look at the particular surface, which is 001, this surface. And what we found is that there's two diacons appear in the surface brand zone. As we see here, there are two surface brand, two semi pocket, and it's gapless. It's gapless. Now let's ask. So we can write down effect Hamiltonian for this surface, because now the surface brand zone, there are two diacons. And one is we can write down this effect Hamiltonian for this two diacon for the surface of the weak topological insulator. And what we found is that this type of Hamiltonian. And we ask if we want to gap this two diacon, what type of term we can introduce to gap the diacon? And it turned out is this H1, this type of term. Actually, this type of term is exactly the scattering between these two diacon. So when we this term this such type of scattering, it will make this system to be gapped. And if we go back to a real space to look at what this term is, it actually you will find that this term is actually this staggered potential. So it's this pi charge density wave. And it's so because it's a pattern that transgressive wave, it's immediate we will realize that. So now here you can hear this set can be a plus and this set be minus. And there's another possibility, this set be minus, this set be plus. So this corresponding just this the coefficient d before this term is has opposite set. And we know that for that Hamiltonian, when you have mass term and when you have opposite sign, there will be a non-trivial. There will be some gap mode appeared at the edge. So we immediately know that we have a situation that now we look at the domain wall between the charge density waves. So basically here there is plus minus, and here is minus plus. So this is the d. You change sign as this domain wall, and then we immediately found we can find that there is a helical edge mode as the domain wall. So this is exactly the same as the domain wall of the magnetization or strong topological insulator. So now for strong topological insulator, we know that the magnetization at the domain wall of the magnetization there is a Kettle edge mode. But for the weak topological insulator, now is at the domain wall of the charge density wave, we will find there is a helical edge state. So we argue that this is exactly the half constant Hall effect on analogy to the half constant Hall effect on the on the surface of strong topological insulator. So we can repeat this argument. So for the strong topological insulator, and when the magnetization is the same direction, we will have Kettle mode at the edge, and it is a constant normal Hall effect. And when the magnetization on two surfaces they are opposite sign, there is no Kettle mode. So each surface will contribute half of the constant Hall conductance. And now in our case, we consider a weak topological insulator, and when we have this charge density wave on the up surface and down surface. And if we have the opposite sign, there will be helical edge mode at the edge. And so it's just equal to a constant spin Hall insulator. And if these two charge density will have the same sign, then there will no helical edge state at the edge. And now because these two surfaces they will contribute equal, so we will regard one surface as half of the constant Hall insulator. Actually, we can also understand this. We can understand this effect from this staggered constant spin Hall picture. So basically, we know that the weak topological insulator is a staggered constant spin Hall insulator. And when you introduce the charge density wave, you can regard it as it connect. For example, you introduce the charge density on this surface, so it connect, combined this coupled these two helical edge states on this side, and then it will gap this system. And now we introduce another opposite charge density on this surface, then you will see that this side also gaps, but eventually this system will be, you can view this system as a folded. So a constant or a single constant Hall insulator is fold along this Z direction, along this stacked direction. So eventually if you look at one surface, it's just a half of the. If now you need two surfaces to make this constant spin Hall single fold constant spin Hall layer. So if you look at one surface, it's just half of the.
Could you remind me the meaning of CDW plus and CDW minus?
Let's look at this example. So CDW plus is just means, for example, this set is plus. Has plus potential, this set has minus potential. But CW minus means this sign, this is minus, this is plus. Let's change the sign of CW. Okay. Yeah, because now the thing is we are the pi charge density wave. So we have two possible choices.
It's
two,
is
a
legal order.
Yeah.
So can I go back one slide? So on the right picture, it seems to me you have some kind of domain wall
in the y direction. So so you have one staggering boundary condition on the left, and the other staggering on the right.
What was the argument again? There's a domain wall.
Finally, you can view this system as one single constraint layer, but it folds in this direction. And then, actually, here at this side and this side, yeah, the main wall.
Now I see they have some.
The main wall between this tangential and this tangential. So there will be helical liquid, helical action at this side and this side. So now in the bulk argument, we have argued the Euler's concrete model to show that there is a half continental effect for the surface of the weak topological infiltrator. And now we will try to generalize it to the arbitrary directional surface. But for the, said in the beginning that if you look at the arbitrary surface of the weak topological infiltrator, you need to be careful because some surface will be gapped, some surface will be metallic. And it turned out that you can look at the condition for the gap or the condition for the gapped surface is the following. So for an arbitrary surface, you have a Miller indices for the surface. And you can compare this Miller indices and this vector, this G vector, which is defined by this three weak topological indices. And if its mod 2 is equal to 0, then this surface will be gapped. And we can look at this simple, to understand this condition, we can look at this simple example. Again, we look at the example. So let's conceive of cubic lattice, but with the weak topological insulator indices 0, 0, 1. So basically, it's along z direction is the stacked direction for the constant Hall layer. So basically, it's along z direction, it's staggered. And so now here in this one, each green line represents a sheet of the constant Hall layer. And now we look at two different surfaces. One is minus 1, 0, 1 surface, and one is minus 2, 0, 1 surface. For this surface, you can see that it didn't satisfy this condition. So this surface should be gapless. Basically, you can see that if you look at this surface, and the unit cell is just one single layer, so it's just a gapless. But for this surface, you will find that this one will satisfy this condition. And what you found is that for look at surface unit cell, you will find in one unit cell actually it includes two sheets of the constant Hall layer. So actually, these two these two layers will have some cutting between each other, and then you something like just like as the picture we have shown in this slide, there will be some cutting between these two constant Hall layers, so it will become gapped. So now let's introduce a general charge density wave. So we introduce that type of charge density. Basically, this the wave vector of the charge density wave is just a half of this GV, this vector defined by the weak topological indices. And actually, the charge density wave here we introduce is just the plot for if you look at along this. This direction, it's just plus minus, so this introduces this type of charge density wave. And now we look at these two surfaces. So now for this surface, for this 201 surface, actually you will find that this charge density wave, it's just the same as the unit cell, and it's still the vector is still same. So basically, the one unit cell is still include the two sheet of the constant Hall insulin layer, so it's still gapped. And but for this gapless surface, when you introduce this charge density wave, so now you can see that orange unit cell just include the one atom. And but now when you introduce this charge density wave, density will, it will be doubled this unit cell, and so basically it makes this situation the same as this situation, and it will, so both of the surfaces will be gap. And now we repeat our about argument in for this concrete model, and we know that when there is a charge density will the main wall for the system on the surface, you will find that the gap is helical edge mode. So basically, so when there's for this surface, when they charge the main wall here, and you will find there is a helical edge mode at this position, it will go in. And for the this -2, -0, 1 this surface, we know that now because this surface termination already tell you that the unit cell is doubled, so now we should not look at the charge density wave. Instead, we should look at the dislocation line at the surface. So basically, we look at this unit cell here is 2, here is 2, but here there is 1 isolated layer, and then it again 2, 2. So for this isolated one layer of the atoms, you will find that there is a helical edge state at this line. So basically, it's the same. This unit cell will play the same role as the charge density wave. And furthermore, we know that our picture actually is the same. It can be directly related to inline dislocation line in the bulk. So basically, now actually we introduce a charge density wave along this stack direction of the weak topological insulator, and the main wall will become a plane, and this plane can be determined by the surface, and which when once it's terminated, then it will have a helical edge state at the surface as we have shown before. But also this the main wall or the charge density wave, it can be terminated by the dislocation line. For example, we can see about here is there's an edge dislocation here. Then you will see that there's charge density wave, the main wall here. But when because of this dislocation line, then there will be on this side there will be no the main wall. Okay, so then basically we know that from inland work that there will be a helical edge state. Now we have helical edge state at the surface, and also we have a helical edge state around this dislocation line. So basically, this plane will be terminated by the surface, and also by this dislocation line. And furthermore, we can provide an understanding of the result we have said before, that the weak topological insulator behavior quite different in under this disorder from the graphene. So we can regard the disorder as some random charge density wave domain, charge density wave. So basically, it formed a platoon and with plus or minus, it's just random. And between these platoon, you will find there is a helical edge state exist. So finally, when you look at electron coming here, you will always find some route with, and eventually go to anywhere you you wish. So basically, the surface of the weak topological insulator will be always metallic. And finally, we investigated the.
I understand that the localization class for that is that
it's A2.
Yeah.
So it's the same as in a spin orbit topological insulator surface.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But I thought so topological interface is A2 plus some topological environment. In this case, it's.
Yeah, but. Well, apparently it's weak, it's protected, it's not protected. But so this was also numerically, we should comment that I guess Jens Partisan from Berkeley Group, they have numerically established the same results. There was a talk earlier on in the program.
So finally, we also investigate the interaction effect on the surface of the topological insulator. Basically, we introduce the on-site U interaction and also the nearest neighbor V interaction. And so basically we project the interaction on the surface subband and then treat this interaction Hamiltonian in the mean field level. We consider all these three different types of the parameter. They will compete with each other. So basically this is the charge density wave of the parameter. And again here this sigma is spin and tau is just a different value of the, because now we have two pockets on the surface. Now we look at our concrete vector Brownian state model, and we also treat this ferromagnetic and anti-ferromagnetic. And so basically here is the phase diagram. So basically depend on the different strength of the U and the V, you will find three different phases. So first, when U and V both are very weak, you will find that it's semi-metal. This is because the density of state at diagonal will go to zero, so there is no instability here. But when you increase the U and the V, and you will find that if for the very large U, you will find that the system will become a quantum normal Hall inflator. And basically, it's just the system will form a ferromagnetism. This is different from the usual Hubble model, because usually in Hubble model you will find any ferromagnetism, but here because the ferromagnetism can open gap, so it will be favored. And if you increase the nearest neighbor interaction V, you will find that now we know that there will be a charge density wave, and now the natural thing is this charge density wave region, you will have a half constant effect. And so here is a summary of today's talk. So basically, I try to show you that the weak variance is not so boring, and its surface state actually it's different from the, although it has the same number, almost the same number, even number, as the Dacron and graphene, but the surface is different from graphene because there's a surface half constant effect here. And also here I try to show you that here we have an example that when the a state which is protected by some symmetry, when you break this symmetry, it always gives you some non-trivial physical consequence. So the thing that I will recommend a little about the material for weak Brownian insulator. So basically we know that one material is a bismuth antimony, but for this material there's both strong and weak indices. So basically if you look at the charge density wave of the bismuth antimony, there will be coexist of a single diacron and two-dimensional diacron and also some gapless helical mode. But this is maybe experiment not so easy to distinguish them. So I think it's very, I hope to urge the people to search for new material for with only weak topological indices. Okay, so this is my talk. Thank you.
I have a comment which is kind of in the same direction as what you're saying about half quantum spin-on effect. You can actually show that you cannot make a microscopic model which generates the surface theory of a weak topological insulator. So you cannot make a microscopic model that has two Dirac cones at time reverse and environment points. And this is kind of suggestive to the fact that you cannot localize, because if you would be able to localize it, in a sense, you can just write down now some very complicated but microscopic Hamiltonian which has the same kind of degrees of freedom.
So I have a question to Sasha Merlin. So if you add interactions to this, then the disorder to this, and you have interactions, so you expect to localize for the same reasons you had discussed,
no.
Or not?
Yes. So basically, so this is...
Maybe we can bring back the slide where you had the big phase diagram, many colors.
If I understand correctly, it was different direction, but that was without staggering. Yeah?
That was without staggering.
That was without staggering.
Yeah.
That was sort of metallic phase when you had interaction, right?
Yeah.
So originally you have three phases. Yeah. So you have a metallic phase which separates two topologically distinct. So it's just like a transition between two topologically different phases, and in between there should be a metallic phase. And the fact that you cannot localize it is just because there should be something non-localizable between two topologically distinct data sets. Just zero sum. Now, what we consider is if you have Coulomb interaction to this.
To this, exactly.
Then it turns out that this Coulomb interaction, so I guess so this phase one is just more or less sort of normal metal. Yeah. No, without interaction, this
would be a normal metal.
Now what I say that if you have Coulomb interaction, the Coulomb interaction tries to sort of to localize it. Yeah?
Right.
It changes this anti-localization, it changes the sign of this anti-localization to the opposite. On the other hand, since it cannot really localize it just because you have two topologically distinct phases on both sides, and so in between, it cannot be an insulating.
But do we have two topological phases still here? Because here the
phenomenon
is not protected.
No, not here. That's not the direction. That's to get to topology, there is a staggering direction, which is more direction.
You understand?
So
I understand.
So if you go to this
staggering direction,
you create two topological different insulators, and in between there should be either metal, like here with Coulomb interaction, it should become critical just because it is not a metal anymore, because Coulomb interaction won't localize it, it cannot be localized because it should separate, so the only conclusion is critical.
The statement is that if I turn on a Coulomb interaction at the third axis, the phase diagram basically is still the same, although the metal phase becomes
a pointer, short, small region.
No, basically we're saying that this yellow, so we did not consider this red these are phases with apparently with some instability.
I'm not sure.
But what we're saying that this sort of yellow phase with Coulomb interaction, it's not really secure, it's called semi-metal, So actually what is secure semi-metal with short-range interaction or without interaction, it's anti-localizing. It's what we call, perfect metal or, it flows to infinite conductivity, Whereas with Coulomb interaction, it flows to the conductivity of the order of this current wave.
So that's a different non-trivial critical point.
It's different, it's different.
And you can control that?
We only know that it flows sort of down, however it should be protected by topology. It's like an orthogonal critical point. It should be there. Oh, maybe one more question. So when you see this one spin-hole effect, so two questions. So one, so this spin-hole conductivity is in general not a very good quantitative for apparently do you need some particular model when it can be defined? Because in general it is in orbit, it's something not that's one question. And second, even when it's defined, when you say half, is it not that you will have sort of two surfaces that will that in the end we won't see anything sort of half or maybe that's the contribution of both of them or?
So basically, I think here we require half to just make an analog and half concourse that basically it's the domain of the charge density wave. There's a half edge state in the middle of the charge density wave. Yes.
Let's say in your team, when we say half one volt, they don't see anything which is half, Everything is half. Will you see here, will we see something that's really half in? It's not like in graphene that will be multiplied by, number of surfaces here.
So you mean, is there any bulk response, or half type of bulk response in bulk, or? So I don't quite understand.
I was asking whether there will be no contribution of both surfaces that will add like one half, plus one half, or minus one half.
Think like this.
That's the same as the Strasbourg interface where each surface has half one half.
Yeah. But you don't see this half in. To get the half, you should divide what you observe on the experiment by two.
And you look at the domain wall and you say, this is actually grounded as a
five.
So there is a sense that just dividing by two is reasonable. Because
no, then I understand. I think
you always need this divided by two. Otherwise, you cannot learn not to really see half.
and to the first part of the equation, so you mean some particular model when this quantity is defined, yeah? Because in general, there is no, I mean, spin is not conserved, there is no spin for conductivity.
But the particular model is a spin also not conserved. So basically what I mean is just the helical edge state in the domain wall. Just the carry edge state as the memory of the nominal hall. Although in their case, you can have this block hall conductance half, but here, just like constant hall, I mean, we really don't have any, I mean, we can only theoretically say that they need to kind of
solution,
but.
If it's not conserved, then you can define what a
So it's a half of a spin hall insert. It's not
half
spin
hall. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, no more questions. Let's start talking again.